views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter, and welcome. And we're excited for today's show. We're getting into step 13 of the practice of living awareness, which is toroidal flow. So Steve, tell us a little bit about that step. It's got a lot of stuff in it.
It sure does. I'll try to make it as simple as possible. You know, what's happening is we're actually in step 13. There's 14 steps to the practice of living awareness. And so we've basically had 14 guests. We had a couple on a few times. And each week we bring a guest on the show who emulates or who's got some special take vibrationally. They sort of offer all that is that step to the world through their profession or their passions. And we're moving along in the practice. We're at step 13, so we're at the next to last step. This is called toroidal flow. So a torus, if you don't know what a torus is, you should try to Google it, because essentially everything in the manifest universe is the result of this toroidal flow. It's an energetic pattern that scientists, not only meditators, now science, linear thought is starting to actually see that almost everything in the world is constructed by this energetic pattern of a torus. It actually looks like a donut, but it's got energy coming in through the top, and the energy swirls around the outside, and then it comes down through the bottom, wraps around, and back to this point in the center. That point is actually the point of unity in a human being. It's the heart energetically, and In a solar system, it's a black hole. Galaxies, our solar system, the whole entire energetic system of the human being, a chakra is a torus. So toroidal flow basically says whatever you put out vibrationally moves out into the world, and the world reflects that back to you. It sort of reports back to you, and then you bring that energy back in, and you meet that energy at this new now, this new moment. And so the expansion of the universe, of consciousness, of new thoughts, of new emotions, of just moving forward in your life is the result of this. That which goes out reports to us, and it comes back. What we put out is what we get back. So that essentially is toroidal flow. And so we have a really special guest with us today. Stacy's waiting in the wings. Stacy Kagan is with us today. Say hi, Stacy.
Hi, guys.
It's so great to have you with us today. So Stacy was a part of a very special retreat that we had at Spirit Fire, and we connected with her right away and had such amazing conversations that we just asked her to please come on the show and talk to us a little bit more. So you might remember back a few shows ago, we had Tammy Duncan on the show, and she was talking about luminous perception and talking about opening yourselves up to the finer vibrations. And we were talking about children and adults diagnosed with autism and the work she does with caregivers and with parents of children who were diagnosed with autism in sort of allowing them to open themselves up to the sort of more sensitive side of life, to vibrations that they may not otherwise be open to. And so in the step of luminous perception, energetically and meditatively, we are actually opening ourselves up to abstract thought, to higher mind, to finer vibrations that exist that we may not realize that we're actually being affected by or that we have available to us all the time. And so this step, toroidal flow, has much to do with not only opening ourselves up to that, but seeing what life is reporting to us as that which goes out is that which comes in. So what we noticed in that retreat was so many people were really so open to understanding the mechanics of vibration on a very specific level. There was so much talk about clean eating and clean food. Lots of talk about chemicals, the chemicals we put into the earth, and what are the results of those chemicals we put into the earth, of GMO food, when we genetically modify food. What is it that we're actually eating when we put ourselves back in, when we put that food back into our body? We noticed that a lot of the parents who were at this retreat had lawyers, and we were saying, wow, you know, it really was an eye-opener as to sort of what it takes to sort of have the world wake up and realize that we all are individuals, we all have needs, we need to look around us and see the effects of the ways we may be expressing and what we may be putting into the world and the effects that they are having on our children, on ourselves, on future generations, and on the earth. Stacy had quite a bit to say about that, and really just such wonderful insights. And so she has agreed to be with us to talk about this a little bit today. Stacy, welcome again. That was a lot of words there.
That was great.
So if you could just tell us a little bit about how your life has changed. You have a child who was diagnosed with autism, and I'm going to do my best, Stacy, in this conversation, in this show, you know, not to make assumptions and not to make generalizations, and you can just sort of stop me if I, you know, I think a lot of people out there, the numbers are increasing. The numbers of people we know who have children with autism, the people that are diagnosed with autism or along the spectrum of autism, you know, it's something we may not know. You know, I didn't know enough about it. I know a little bit about it. So I just would love to hear a little bit from you about the ways that it has affected you in ways we all are affected some way.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to put out there, a new statistic came out, I believe it might have been yesterday, that now 1 in 45 children will be diagnosed with autism. Wow. So the numbers are staggering, and it's very scary. And we need – it's a call to action. But with that said, I'm sure we're going to get into that a little bit more. My background, I was a women's wear designer for 18 years, and I worked in New York City. I live in Brooklyn. I'm raising a family. I have two boys, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. I've got an awesome husband, and I have been, you know, very affected by having a child with special needs. Not only did it affect me professionally, you know, it's affected me across the board in my whole life, every facet of my life. And, you know, I was very dedicated to my job. I loved designing, absolutely loved it. And when my priorities had to change and I realized that I had challenges that I never expected, I threw myself into my life in such a different way. And fashion could no longer be, it sounds so corny, but it could no longer be my passion. I had to really focus on now confronting the fact that I had a child that had developmental issues. And at the time, we didn't know what those issues were. We didn't know what the extent of the issues would be. And we still don't, we're always learning. But, you know, as my son started to grow older and approach around 4 years old, is when I kind of took a hiatus from work. And I decided I was going to stay home, be full-time with my kids, and really focus on what we could do for my older son to facilitate a healing process. And that's kind of the beginning of my journey. Leaving that world of fashion and really just throwing myself into a whole new world with my children.
And I just would love to jump in just for a second because you know, right here, just I hear in your words what we're talking about, toroidal flow. You know, a life enters into your a new life comes into your awareness, comes into your life, and that creates changes, and what you're able to process, what you're able to put back into the world, what your actual expression changes. So, you know, this is just toroidal flow. I only wanted to bring it back just to say, you know, even in your words, I'm hearing, you know, we're constantly readjusting and realigning to new information, to new realities. And it affects us and it affects our expression. And it affects what we can do, you know, how we can express in our own lives.
Correct. Yes. So for me, I started looking into different modalities of healing for my son. And autism, I was just not going to accept as a diagnosis. I wanted to get to the bottom of what was going on with him in terms of a full holistic approach, really looking at his health from the inside out. You know, there's a lot of schools of thought about what is autism. And, you know, I'm kind of in the camp of autism is a very much a biomedical issue, meaning that it's a comorbid range of all these different issues in the body, ranging from, you know, the gut to inflammation in the body to so many other different challenges. My son in particular has some co-infections, you know, that is just kind of Lyme issues and some other stuff. So for me, I mean, it was getting to the root of really diving into everything and kind of seeing what's really going on here. It's not a behavioral issue. And that's what people have to understand. You know, our children are sick, and there's a reason they're sick. And we have to, as a society, we have to start really looking at that. What are the reasons why our kids are sick? And this goes across the board for all children, not just children with developmental issues. But why are children today failing to thrive like they should? So that's kind of where I am right now with our journey. We're really experimenting and trying to see where we can take it and what we can do to help facilitate a very holistic healing approach.
And would you say that the behavior is actually the result of what's happening inside the body, correct?
Yes.
Right. So I hear you there, indeed.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people see children on the spectrum, if they're not talking or if they're having meltdowns, tantrums, self-injurious behavior. And a lot of this can really come back to what is happening inside the body. You know, why are these kids reacting the way they're reacting? Are they in pain somewhere? Yeah. You know, are they having gut pain? Are they having any sort of pain that they can't maybe verbalize because either they're nonverbal or they just don't have the language to verbalize it or the understanding about what is going on within their own bodies. So, you know, it's definitely challenging on many levels.
It comes down to awareness, and it comes down to sensitivity and being aware and responsible, our sense of responsibility. Hey, Stacey, listen, we're going to go to a break, and we come back. I look forward to continuing this conversation. Thanks.
Great. Sure.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue. The conversations will become stronger and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
30 WBLQ.
Back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are joined today with Stacy Kagan, and she is the mother of a special needs child. And we are talking about just what it takes to sort of meet someone with special needs. And I believe we all have special needs. You know, the journey of meeting someone halfway or feeling met by someone and having one's needs met is something we all can contemplate and ponder. She told us a really very quite wowing statistic. Stacy, I think you said a new statistic came out just the other day that says one in 45 children will be diagnosed with autism. And, you know, I know that when we had talked earlier, we had talked about those numbers, and those numbers were in the, I think, about 10 years, you know, I wouldn't know the progression. But let's say that we are seeing them really speed up really, really fast. I mean, it was perhaps one in, I think the number was like 800, and that was in the 80s. And then in the 90s, it went to 1 to 300, then 1 to, and now we are at this point where we're at 1 in 45. So we really got to take a look at, we're going to talk about a lot of things in the show. I can't wait to talk about looking at the world around us and really so unique what you and your husband contribute to the world as a result of all that. And we'll get to that in a sec. But you were talking earlier about just what it takes and how your life changed and how sort of you had to open up to a new awareness and to getting to know what these needs are. So we noticed that a lot of the work done at the retreat at Spirit Fire, and I know you've said even work you've done in many different areas, has so much to do with intuition and so much to do with learning to communicate in ways that we don't often communicate.
Right. Yeah. That's true. I think that, you know, with our children, they don't maybe have the voice. So you do have to start to communicate on a different level. And some of those levels that resonate with me for my child, I mean, my child is verbal, and he is expressively challenged, conversationally challenged. But he can, you know, he definitely gets his needs in and he gets those needs met. And he's a really amazing kid, you know, but if I don't tap in, and I don't tap into him and almost like vibrate on the same frequency as him, then we don't connect. Exactly. And that's I think with all children, but I think especially with these kids, they're so sensitive. They're sensory. They're so sensory sensitive, and you need to really be so present. My child, especially, I mean, if I'm angry, if I've had a tough day, if I have any sort of mood issues, my child feeds off of it in a way that he reflects it back to me. And so I think that it's about being so self-aware. And it's something that I'm finally, after 8 years of being his mom, I'm starting to really focus on my self-awareness to the point where I want to be in sync with him. You know, I fought it for so long because you want to do what you're learning from therapists or what people are telling you out in the community about autism. But what it really is just becoming one with your child, no matter what your child's issues are or if they don't even have any issues. You know, and that goes for, I think, all of us.
Indeed. You know, as we all know, until we become one with ourselves, we really can't become one with another. We have to be able to keep ourselves in check. And you say, you know, for instance, if your child is in pain and is exhibiting a certain behavior, some of us could so quickly just react to that behavior and not actually feel into it, not be present enough with ourselves to say, well, is there more to this? Is there more I need to be hearing? Is there more? Do I need to maybe look outside of my five physical senses to sort of sense what might be going on with my child or with any situation?
Right. That's so true. I mean, so many of these kids, their tantrums are ignored for behavioral issues.
Right.
And it's just not the case. I mean, our kids have behavioral issues for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, you and I just don't throw these temper tantrums or meltdowns or become self-injurious, you know, because we had a bad day, you know? I mean, we may get really angry, but there's a difference here. These kids are exhibiting behaviors that ordinarily, you know, they wouldn't have unless there was something physical going on. And that's the way they express it. And, you know, it's just listening, not with your ears necessarily, but listening with your whole body to your child.
Yeah. And that takes time to develop. You know, takes time to develop in all of us. And for the people who may be listening that are meditators, you know, that's what we are doing in meditation. We're sort of trying to sort of open ourselves up to these higher vibrations. But what good it does to look around our world and say, well, when I look at the world around me and I see someone in a tantrum or someone self-harming, what is that saying? What is that saying about the world around us? What is that saying about the energetic that's present? And, you know, what I loved about Tammy's conversation and I love about the conversation we're happening is everything you're saying can be applied to your child as it is an extreme case. And we all can empathize with that, but it can be applied to the entire world. It can be applied to all of our relationships. And so it becomes a sort of, you've said this word, it becomes a blueprint. You have talked about a blueprint for green living, but it can also be a blueprint for living with sensitivity, living with
tolerance,
living with empathy.
Totally. I think that, not that I had blinders on to these things before I was in the situation that I'm in, but I definitely didn't have self-awareness before having a child with special needs. I definitely didn't have self-awareness. And it's taken me, like I said, 8 years to start really experiencing self-awareness and being open to it, wanting to be self-aware because it's work. And you guys know this is what you guys do every day. And, you know, it's so much work to have that self-awareness in all facets of your life.
Indeed. And I just have to commend you. You know, we've had many conversations with you. And I can say what I absolutely love about you and about sensing your energy is indeed you are at a place of self-awareness. There is never there's never an anger. There's never, you know, I don't ever sense with you this sort of, life, you know? So hats off. You've been doing the work. Indeed, it shows.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, I definitely went through my years.
So, Stacey, let's just say, you know, we're talking about what goes out is what comes back and the results. We're talking about, well, the results of what may be causing this and a child in pain to be born with this. And the fact that as we've gotten into this conversation, you know, it's not that you've gotten angry. What you've done, what I know about you and what you've done with your life is you've gotten proactive and you've said, well, what's happened to my child? I do not wish that on anyone. And if there's something wrong with my child, perhaps there's something wrong with our planet. Right. And that needs to be looked at. So, soon, well, I can see we're soon going to go to a break, but if you could just set us up and tell us a little bit before we go to break, the half break, tell us just a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. Okay. So like I said, I used to be a women's wear designer, took a short hiatus to be a stay-at-home mom with my kids. And my husband started his own boutique law firm practice. He has a class action civil rights practice and he works for consumer protection, basically. And his main concern is really green living, the environment, genetically modified food, looking at what constitutes natural in terms of food, in terms of household products, in terms of home and house cleaners. He's also looking into agriculture and farming and a myriad of issues. And so I think it really kind of made a lot of sense to me, because when I look at our children and how they're affected, you know, and what has changed in the last, let's say, couple of decades, are these things, right? Yeah. It's the advent of all of these things. And so why are the numbers on the rise? And I think we have to correlate it back to what is going on in the environment, what's going on in our food supply.
We're going to go to a break now. Right. And I can't wait to go deeper into this when we get back.
Okay, fantastic.
Thanks, Stacey.
Walking with gorillas down my street. From my window I'm staring while my coffee goes cold. Look over there. Wow. There's a lady that I used to know.
In retirement, will you outlive your money? It's a common question for people approaching retirement, but it doesn't need to weigh on you. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeff Packman about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get the real answers you need. In fact, 93% of clients who have had the Confident Retirement Approach conversation feel more confident about their retirement. Call Jeff Packman Financial Advisor at 425-453-0272 for your Confident Retirement Conversation today. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Percentage based on Ameriprise Financial Confident Retirement Client Survey as of December 2013. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. A registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Shine On Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The 24th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, United We Change the World, is February 11th through the 15th. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on creative dragon energy, Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye and join Mira Kelly for a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. Join WOW for intimate, experiential, life-changing workshops and evening presentations that will inspire you. Early Bird Weekend Passes, Friday evening through the Monday Banquet, are available at a special low price through December 7th. Join a supportive community of women on their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life. Women of Wisdom is the place to be, this February 11th through the 15th. Go to thewowconference.org, that's the W-O-W conference.org, to discover all the diverse offerings WOW has to offer you. See you there.
1230 WBLQ.
Walking with gorillas down my street. From my window, I'm staring.
Welcome back. Today we're talking with Stacey Kagan.
Yeah, it's great. We've had a really great conversation so far. Just before the break, Stacey was telling us about the work that both she and her husband do, telling us a little bit about sort of product checking, fact checking, this craze of all natural foods. We all sort of want to, you know, those of us who are aware on any level, we all know about eating organic. You know, we all know that fundamentally we're against GMOs. We really, at least at the very least, would like to have companies who genetically modify foods let us know they're doing it. When one, you know, fights really hard not to actually put it on a label, it sort of sets an alarm off that, well, something must be quite wrong with it if right. You don't tell us about it. So, you know, there are those of us who know all that, and we've got a lifestyle that I would say we all sort of try our best to incorporate it. But when we hear statistics like one in 45, 48 children are autistic these days, we're really at a level of alarm. You know, there's a sense of urgency that comes to taking a look at the world around us and actually, what are the byproducts? We are the byproducts of this world. We live on and of the earth. All of us, every one of us, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the relationships we have create who we are. That is the toroidal flow of manifest reality. And so, Stacey, this work you and your husband are doing, and I know you personally do quite a bit of the actual product testing.
I do.
I find this work to be just wonderful. So tell us a little bit more, if you could.
Okay. So my husband, I got to plug his law firm because, you know, he'd be very happy for me to do that. It's called the Richmond Law Group. And so we basically have concerned consumers like myself come to us. Sometimes moms are the best source of concerned consumers. And, you know, red flags are around us all everywhere, you know, about the products we use. And they'll come to us and they'll say, well, you know what, I saw this product. Is this a good product for me to A, feed my kids or bathe my child in or clean the house with? I mean, that's just to name like the mom concerns. A lot of these folks happen to be special needs parents. I have a wide network of special needs friends and acquaintances. And so I'm always getting inquiries about, you know, what do you use and what do you think about this product? And so that kind of gets us looking into different products. You know, they're brought to our attention. And I may do research, contact some people that I know that have information. You know, we have tested products. And, you know, we really want to find what is in our products. It's not just GMOs we're concerned about. We're also concerned about synthetics. We're concerned about glyphosate. You know, we're concerned about herbicides and pesticides other than glyphosate. I mean, there are so many things that are in our products that we are eating, wearing, rubbing into our skin, and spraying our homes with.
And so, Stacey, if you could tell us, just for the people who may not know, you know, that what is the correlation like? And I know we're not trying to say this is, you know, we're not going to point any fingers here, but you know, certainly when I heard conversations, certainly around vaccines, around GMOs, yep, around organic food, I just know that once you become the parent of a special needs child, certainly Stacy was saying that you learn everything. What was this word? You see, these words you just said is a word I have never said in my life. And I'm sure a word you would have never said in your life. And so you start sort of diving into this research and you actually become the cutting edge of sort of new thinking about the way we live. And if you could just tell us some of the correlations for people who might not understand why someone with a special needs mom might be curious about what they can bathe their child in.
Okay. Well, I first want to tell you, I'm not a scientist. You know, I don't have a medical degree. This is all just stuff I've learned from whether I've gone to lectures and heard medical field speak on, or people that have, you know, strong passions about this. You know, definitely, you know, nonprofits I've heard speak about it. And I'm part of a lot of different groups, you know, that I get a lot of information. But I just want to preface that by saying, you know, this is my feelings. These are my beliefs. You know, so I would say, you know, with GMOs have been linked to leaky gut. Kids with autism have severe leaky gut and gut issues. So that's one thing. With vaccines, you know, vaccines are a really hot button topic. And, you know, I am of the mindset that vaccines, they need to be studied more. There are chemicals, metals, there are different things in these vaccines. It's not just thimerosal, you know, mercury. There's aluminum. There are so many other things. You know, if you look at the ingredients of a vaccine, all different vaccines, you'll see things and you'll be amazed at, I can't believe that's in that vaccine and that's being put into my body. You know, so those things are, you know, out there. And then in cleaning products that are claiming to be quote unquote green or natural, there's a lot of synthetic chemicals. And so all of these things, you know, our kids have such environmental sensitivities. They're being affected and assaulted and bombarded all day. You know, their whole waking day, these kids are being bombarded with all this stuff.
So they almost become a barometer in a way. They can sense the litmus test. So, you know, when you say, I'm not a scientist, but you actually are a very keen observer because you've got stakes in this game. You've got a child and you've got a child who's incredibly aware and incredibly sensitive. So not only are they sensitive to someone who might have had a bad day and is bringing that into the home, but they might be sensitive. I would go as far as, what is the actual energetic? What is the...
Sure.
You know, what, not only what is the, what I'm picking up, which is great, it's not great actually, but it's interesting. It's like going poof, poof, poof in my mind that, you know, it's not only what are the chemical compounds creating, but actually what is the energy behind this? Is there, could it be as much as, is there that much greed behind this?
Oh, 100%.
You know, that a child is even sensing that level of, no, I actually don't want to be, I don't want this product in my presence.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I think that that's speaking to a whole, you know, other dimension of what's happening here, you know, and absolutely our kids pick up on energy like nobody's business. I mean, 100%. They are just so energetically dynamic. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And so I suppose that actually has then it's rubbed off on you, you know, in what ways I just would love to hear a little bit more about what ways that you've changed through all of this.
Absolutely. So I would tell you that I was not, you know, I loved having the option of eating organic before I had kids, but was it a priority of mine? Definitely not. Did I seek out all organic produce? Did I seek out meat from, you know, I found a great online website to buy my meat from. You know, they don't use GMO feed, that the animals are free range, grass fed. You know, the fish I buy is from an online website that the fish is tested for mercury. It's line caught. I can find out where it's coming from, the Pacific, the Atlantic. Did I ever really set out to live this way? Definitely not. It's just that I feel that it's my responsibility to provide my child with the cleanest possible food I can. That's, you know, and then the cleanest possible products. So I'm constantly evaluating what I am using in my home. You know, I'm not going to say that I go as far as making my own household cleaning products. A lot of people do that, and my hat's off to them. It's amazing. I'd like to get, you know, in 2016, I'd like to get more efficient and try to make some of my own. But I definitely have cut back on the egregious ones and really looked at, I study the ingredients now when I buy something.
Yeah. And so one thing I'm curious about, when you make a decision like that, and this is just naivete on my part, you can just fill me in. Yeah. Would a choice like that from you be looking for a better earth for tomorrow and for the parents of future kids or future generations? Or do you actually see the change, and do you see sort of a behavioral change in the now, in both of your kids and in your family? I mean, we're talking about all of us. Certainly, it must be both for you, I can imagine.
It's both.
I'm asking you that.
It's absolutely both. I mean, I have to say that since I cleaned my son's diet up, and he's gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, refined sugar-free, dye-free. My youngest son is dairy and gluten-free. And as I've cleaned up their diets, I would have to say that my son's gastro issues, my older son, has significantly reduced. You know, I've seen an improvement. And with that comes an improvement in behavior. By no means, you know, has he recovered at this point, but he's on that path. He's definitely on that healing path.
Well, and I almost get a sense, a more, you get the real him. You get the pure version of him. I mean, somebody not in pain. We were not born to be in pain.
No.
So somebody not in pain lets you experience sort of a fuller version, a more dynamic, a more sort of, you know, a more relational version of themselves. You're relating 100%. To them and not only their pain.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, a child that's sleeping better, that's, you know, eating better, that is – that's a child that's going to be much happier. And when the happiness arrives and is in their lives, that child is going to start to heal. The healing process starts. You know, when that child can have that emotion, you know, of feeling happy and feeling physically well. Mm-hmm. And it's a long journey for, you know, all of us out there, you know, with kids that have autism, because it's such a complex illness.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ranges are so, you know, dynamic.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, the expression is, if you've met one kid with autism, you've met one kid with autism.
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and once again, it only reinforces that we are all individuals. I mean, I hate to always sort of bring it back to all of us, because I know that it is so unique and it is so specific for children with autism. But are we not all individuals? Are we not all unique? Now, I know that their needs and their uniqueness really goes beyond what, as we would compare, for instance, the three of us in this conversation.
Of course.
But in a sense, when we become sensitive to looking at the individual and looking and being sensitive to how someone might be different, how someone might be reacting differently, we can apply that to every area in our lives.
Yes, 100%. I would have to say this has made me a much more compassionate person. My empathy has grown immensely from this experience of raising a child with special needs. I listen better. I'm much more aware, like we've been talking about, obviously, self-awareness and awareness. And one thing that we haven't really touched on is intuition. And I find that I'm starting to really want to work on my intuition and develop my intuition and trust myself, because that's one of the hardest things with this journey, is that every time you approach something with your child, whether it be, can I feed this to my child? How's he going to react? Or can I, you know, what's going to help my child reach their fullest potential? It's like you have to just trust your intuition, and it's such a challenge. It's so hard.
Stacey, don't make me go into a whole dialogue about meditation now. But, you know, listen, intuition is not such a – here I go.
intuition is
abstract, but it is not foreign. We intuit all the time, every day. And I love that you brought the word trust into it. Trust is 100% the, you know, what is necessary. That is the mechanism that allows intuition in. You know, it's a part of the plane of the mind. We've got this mental plane that's got all these layers on it, from just basic data processing, and it moves all the way up to abstract, to being able to observe oneself, and on up to abstract thinking, and on up to intuition. And so that range is available to all of us, make no mistake. And so, you know, meditation and a life as that, such that you have, which actually asks for that, you know, on it, right. You know, people's lives are sort of made better as a result, immediately right in front of you. The impetus is there, but it's certainly available to all of us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meditation. Yeah. What I would say is it's the key, you know, it really, that is it. It's awareness. It's the ability to not only observe oneself, but to observe a situation. Right. So I want to just go back really quickly before, you know, I want to get this in for sure in this conversation, because I find it so helpful. You know, make no mistake, so that this isn't just such a, it's not really a downer. I mean, it really is a wake up call. It really is something Absolutely. We need to pay attention to. But I also find that the fact that you can say, I get this fish online, I only buy organic, I only buy gluten free. You know, in the last year, Trader Joe's has perfected the gluten free bread. So, I mean, this is available to us. I mean, right. The world is changing for the better in that we have options as well.
100%.
I'd love to hear from you in that you're the law firm that you and your husband run, this boutique law firm, that I'd love to hear, what's your take? You know, is the world, do you see that there's a balance? Do you feel that we are still, like, this whole world is in a sense genetically modified? We're moving towards, like, this world that's created in a lab? Or do you see that there's a balance? Like, what's your take on that? I find you to be pretty balanced in your observations.
Well, I am. I think that I think it's not, look, I think Big Pharma and I think Big Agra, the Monsantos of the world, they really do run the show. And that's the sad thing.
Okay.
And I think until the numbers are even more staggering and we're all, like, our mouths are open, everyone's incensed, I mean, everybody's kid is affected, I don't think that there's going to be much change. I mean, that's the sad reality. I think that this, you know, so many people are bought in this country, bought and sold every day. And I think that it's just, you know, that's the reality that we live in. I think that, unfortunately, all those things that I'm mentioning, organic and living greener, it's expensive to do it. That's where all my resources go. And a lot of people who want to even be able to pursue that lifestyle can't afford to.
Right.
And that's the sad reality that we live in, is that, you know, we have a country in which, if you want to be able to make those choices for your family, the reality is so many people can't.
Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate, and it's not fair. And I wish it was that everything, all the farming in this country was organic. And, you know, everybody was in on it. We were all enjoying the benefits of it. Because that's really the only one, is if we all say, you know what, we're not going to buy commercial produce, we're only going to buy organic. That's the message that we have to send.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, because it really does come down to people's finances. What can they afford to do for their families and themselves?
Yeah. And one day, you know, I just look to a day where we'll realize that, you know, the cost we spend on healthcare.
Oh, well,
actually.
Yeah.
We wake up and say, you know, perhaps if we create healthier bodies, we actually won't need to spend this money. Like, it's the way it goes. Invest on the front end, you know?
Yep.
It's amazing. We actually talk about human beings and human lives and our own physiology, about investing on the front end in terms of what we produce in the earth for food for all of us. But
right,
it's that simple. And it is actually, at the end of the day, that complicated.
It is. It's so complicated. And, you know, like, when we were on break, I had said to you that, you know, we're basically genetically modifying our children. And that's what's happening right now. I mean, they're just, everyone is consuming this food, and if they're not aware.
Yeah.
And it's just changing. I truly believe it's changing our DNA, you know, and not for the better. And that's my feeling on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also find it interesting, you know, and I you probably will have something to say about this. I find it interesting that, you know, for instance, Temple Grandin, okay, you know, she's probably a name that a lot of people know who might not be familiar with autism. And I've heard you say, I believe, but I've heard certainly many people say, I know I've read that book, The Reasons I Jump, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, as you said, when you know a child with autism, you know a child with autism.
Right.
It is different for everybody. We can't talk about Temple Grandin and say everybody's Temple Grandin.
Right.
But I do find that, you know, there is something unique about a lot of these individuals. There's a way that their mind processes. There's a way their mind processes in response to their emotions. And there is something to be offered by each and every individual, I believe, that comes onto this earth. And it's interesting that her sensitivity sort of in its own way was put upon agriculture. Now, granted, you know, we just would hope that as a result of all this, in the long run, not only we, but the children as well grow up to have their say. You know, as these children grow up and they become sort of players in the grand scheme of things, that we see these changes. We start to see changes. You know, we can only hope.
And you know what? I really believe, and you know, a lot of these kids don't have a voice. So you may not see it from the ones that have a voice, but where you'll see it is from the siblings. I really believe that any child that has autism, that has a sibling, I really believe the siblings are going to step up and they're going to really take it by storm. And I think that that's where the hope lies. I don't think it lies in necessarily my generation or the generations before me. I think it's the siblings of the kids with autism.
Ah. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah,
And so you said that your son, you have the younger son is sibling of your other son with special needs.
Correct.
Ah, and so just a minute, I'd love to hear how what's their relationship like?
They have a typical brother relationship. You know, 6 and 8, they don't want to share anything, and they're constantly, you know, tussling with each other and wrestling and, you know, but the biggest challenge is my 6-year-old is more like it really is developmentally more my 8-year-old, and my 8-year-old is developmentally more like my 4-year-old would be, you know, a 4-year-old would be. So my 6-year-old definitely is the big brother in the relationship. And he's grappling with it as well, because at 6 years old, he's so mature for his age. I truly believe he's an old soul, super old soul, but, you know, his understanding is limited. He asks me questions. We talk about it. I have explained to him what autism is. You know, why does Will get all the therapies at home? You know, why does Will go to a special school? We've talked about all of it. And, you know, he's learning in his own way, just through his interactions, obviously, with his brother and with his brother's, you know, peers, that Will has differences, and what are those differences? What do those mean to him? And, you know, we just...
If I could just say, I'm sorry to just interrupt there, but if I could say that, isn't that what it's all about for all of us? That he will grow up. He will grow up to know that there are differences. We are different. We ask questions. We learn about our differences. You know, he will grow up knowing that I ask a question about somebody's differences, and my mom articulated that to me, and there were reasons, and the reasons make sense. And I just love that you say that, you know, it will be the brothers and sisters. It will be the big brothers and sisters, because we're all in this together. Essentially, we're all brothers and sisters. And until we look out for the one beside us and we make choices that are conscious and that make sense, then forget it. All's lost. That's the lesson we need to learn. I think that's such a gem, you know, in this conversation, to say it's going to be the brothers and sisters, because if it's not for brotherhood, then, you know, what is it about? So, Stacey, guess what?
Time is up.
Oh, it's been such a great conversation, really enlightening, and just such wonderful points. So
thank you.
I really thank you so much. Hey, listen, give us the name of your husband's his website.
Yes, it's therichmondlawgroup.com. And my husband's name is Kim Richmond. And check out all the good work he's doing. And I've had such a great time talking to you guys. This was so much fun. It felt like a continuation of when I was at the retreat this summer. And I really enjoyed myself.
Perfect. Well, hey, thanks again. We're going to sign off. So listen, spiritfireradio.com if you want to listen to this show again and take notes. And we'll be back next week with the wrap-up show of Living Awareness. It's going to be great. Thanks so much, Stacey.
Thank you, guys.
thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.